Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Hello, cutie pie.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohlig, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Indeed you are. I'm Michael Sterling.
You are.
Yeah, who are you?
If not, you're an amazing facsimile. Yes.
Yeah, a photocopy.
I'm just a sweet transvestite.
You are?
Yes.
God. Paul.
How are you?
I miss you.
Really, but not in the biblical sense. No, you just missed me.
But you, yes. We were off. We both decided to take a week off.
Took last week off, yes.
You spent some time with your beautiful mother.
With my lovely mother. We went to San Diego, where she had never been before. She was all over it.
I could live here. I could live here for the rest of my days.
We get it's that, his mother. We get that's a true.
It is. It's accurate. We get that Marriott deal. So we with our friend Fran, who gives us her friends.
So you didn't have to share a room.
No, we shared a room.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, we just got the two queens. You know, and they were very helpful. Hey, ladies.
Watch yourself, mister.
But we had a nice view of right in the marina there and looking out over the boats, and she loves that. So we had a great time.
Yeah,
we
didn't
spend any time in the room. Anyway. How was your week?
You know, it was fast and furious. I was out there covering theater, Oklahoma, out at Cabrillo Music Theater with our friend Dan Calloway in the lead. And it was a lovely, lovely production directed by Lewis Wolkenfeld.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Lewis is a great guy.
Yes.
Great
indeed.
Guy.
So, and the audiences loved it, more importantly. And, you know, that's a big house out there. It's 1,800 seats?
Mm. No. It's just shy of two. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was full.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, we were just talking before we went on the air about doing Mary Poppins out there, and it was packed to the rafters just about every show.
Of course. Well, yeah. You know what they say.
And Lewis's lovely, lovely additional act curtain speech. God love him, but that curtain speech is...
Well, that's...
God love him, but, I mean, I know that he's raising money and doing all that, but after 15 or 20 minutes, that curtain speech gets a little long.
It wasn't quite that long. It's not quite that long. It might feel that long, yeah, but...
Maybe it feels that long when you're backstage waiting to go on the angst.
Lewis, forgive us if you're listening.
Oh, we beg. I've already made fun of him.
Paul might talk himself out of a job.
I'm not speaking out of school. I've already made fun of him. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Featuring the Oscar and Grammy Award-winning music of Phil Collins and from the Masters of Family Entertainment, who brought you Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, and Mary Poppins, 3D Theatricals of Orange County is pleased to present the first major, fully produced Southern California regional premiere of the Tony-nominated Tarzan the Stage musical based on the Disney film at both Fullerton's Historic Plummer Auditorium, and that was for July 11th through the 26th, and the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center coming up August 1st through the 9th.
You would be correct. Sir, familiar to families over several generations, Tarzan tells the classic tale of a shipwreck that leaves an infant boy orphaned on the shores of West Africa. The child is taken in and raised by a tribe of gorillas, in particular the mate of an ape who is grieving the loss of her baby. As the child grows and thrives in his primitive environment, he still yearns for approval from his gorilla father and to discover the reason for his own uniqueness. That is, until the arrival of a hunting expedition, his first sighting of humans, and the realization of the world beyond his jungle home. Today, we are joined by three of the creative forces that bring to life this classic tale. Joining us on the telephone in just a few moments, the lovely Katie DeShawn, who portrays Jane, and right here in studio with us, director Rufus Bonds Jr., as well as Tarzan himself, Devin Archer. Welcome, gentlemen.
Welcome, Katie.
Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us both.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to have you here.
Yeah.
All right.
So before we speak to everybody, real quickly, I just want to tell you, last week, Mark Arthur Miller was at the club.
Yes.
Mark Arthur Miller, guys, is the son of Ron Miller, who was the first Caucasian lyricist hired by Berry Gordy at Motown back in the day. And Berry discovered him in a little club somewhere back there and asked him to join the team, and he ended up writing a few hits for Motown,
classics,
like for Once in My Life.
Once in My Life.
And Touch Me in the Morning.
I've never Been to Me.
So many, many things came out of that man's head and onto that paper for Motown. So his son does a tribute to his father in part, and also does the music of that era. And he played my club on Sunday, and I just took the roof off the place. He had eight musicians and two backup singers.
Just the promo shot for that. You could just see that it just pulses.
Yeah.
You know, the promo material for that was just, I couldn't go because we had the show, which ended up getting rained out. Yeah. But really good. Went well?
It was fantastic. So
where's your club?
Sterling's upstairs at the Federal in North Hollywood. Where the Federal, you know where the El Portal Theater is, right? We're right across the street. And I created
Should always say right next door. Because when you say right across the street, I think people think across Lancashire.
It's across the side street, Weddington.
Right, so it's on the same side as the street, past that little side street there.
Right,
it's a great club. It's the oldest building in San Fernando Valley.
1926, as the Federal Bank.
Yeah.
And our stage was the bank vault.
It was the old vault.
Yeah.
Teron Brooks is doing something for you?
No.
I thought I saw that on. Okay.
But he could, because we have him
here
right now.
If he's in a show that I'm bringing in where there's a cast. Sometimes I do that. We bring in a show called Miscast, Right Singer, Wrong Song.
Okay.
That's
what is the name?
Teron Brooks. That's something about Federal, something online today.
It might be with might be with Mandy Kaplan's thing, the Miscast thing.
Yeah, that's what
I think
we're
I remember that
about.
Name, because I did a postcard for
Maybe not.
Yeah. That sounds great. No, he was a great guy. Yeah.
We have a beautiful young lady waiting on the telephone to speak
to
us.
Why don't you give her the intro? She is so due, and I will hook up with her telephonically.
I will do that. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, her credits include Felia in A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, Susie in The Marvelous Wonderette, Amber in Hairspray, and Fräulein Cost, probably, in Cabaret. She has participated in the Hollywood Fringe Festival for the past 2 years, premiering two new musicals, Griffenstein and Merely Players.
I think it's Giraffenstein.
Oh, Giraffenstein. Oh, you're
I don't
right.
know. We'll have to ask her that.
Yes,
she's
right.
in something right now that just got extended, too, which is really exciting for Katie.
Oh, really?
At the Fringe.
Out of the Fringe?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. I didn't know they extended past a certain point, the Fringe Festival shows. That's good to hear.
I did not either, except, we'll talk about that.
We'll ask her.
We're in the middle
we'll
of
this Giraffenstein thing.
Overseas, she has performed at the Tokyo Disney Resort, as well as originating five shows aboard the Disney Fantasy. Katie can also be found performing in elementary schools throughout Southern California with The Imagination Machine, portraying the role of Jane in the musical by 3D Theatricals of Tarzan. Please welcome Katie Deshawn.
Katie!
Hi!
Hello! How are you?
What a lovely intro. I'm great. How are you?
Good. No, were we right? Is it Giraffenstein?
It is Giraffenstein. It is a hilarious, dark comedy musical about a giraffe who creates a monster. So there you go.
Okay. There we go. And what is it, Fräulein? What is it, Fräulein Cost or Cost?
It is Fräulein Cost.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. We're out of time.
Stumbled through that.
So good to talk to you.
Katie. We wish you were here in studio, but we know it was difficult for you to get here on time. So thank you for at least joining us by telephone.
And of course. Thank you for having me.
Katie, listen, you and I have known each other for a few years because you participate in something I produce every year, LA's Next Great Stage Star. And it was such a wonderful way to meet you and work with you for those many weeks. And now you're out there starring in musical theater everywhere. How is it to be starring in such a very famous role in such a famous story?
It's very exhilarating. I think going out there and being able to tell the story every night, along with all of the beautiful elements that our creative team has added and the beautiful elements of design and flight, it just makes for a really, really fun night activity. I don't really know very many people who get to spend their day teaching and then, I'm going to go fly around and sing tonight. It's so much fun. And I feel very, very lucky and grateful to be doing it.
Well, I certainly was very, taken aback by the performance itself, because 3D always does very, very Broadway caliber productions. And this one in particular is so unbelievably beautiful to look at. You know, from the moment,
it is.
You know, the moment it starts and the whole theater kind of is transformed through a lighting process. Pretty cool.
And it's a risky premise too, because with something like this, you could, I mean, depending on your design, you could run the risk of it looking a little hokey, but looking a little cheesy. And I haven't seen this, but just seeing what they did with Sideshow and what they put up there, just I'm sure it's really staggering.
Yeah, they know what they're doing there, and they don't spare any expense at doing it right either. And I think audiences that are now, you know, they've been accumulating are so appreciative to be able to see theater on this level.
Right.
So, Katie, with regard to this, and I know that you also fly in the show, how was that process for you as far as the learning process for you?
Did it intimidate you at all? Do you have any fear of heights?
No, not particularly, but there is a sense of feeling a little bit out of control the first few times you do it, and wanting to grab onto someone or something. Luckily for me, Paul Rubin, our flight designer and flight choreographer, is the best in the world. He has designed, you know, Kathy Rigby's Peter Pan, Wicked. I saw a production of The Little Mermaid in Japan that he did the flight design for, and it was absolutely stunning. So he was there with us every step of the way, and he taught me all the flight choreography I needed to do and was right there holding my hand, literally and figuratively, once I was, you know, above him. But it was lovely, and it was intimidating, but now it's just part of my, you know, weekend ritual now is going to work and flying around.
And when Paul's not doing that, he's out there being Pee Wee Herman, is that right?
What, Paul Rubens?
No, it's spelled differently, so he's not that Paul Rubens. No.
I know that.
Katie, were you familiar with, or rather, how familiar, if you were, with Tarzan before you auditioned for this? Did you know the musical, or was it all brand new for you from the point you got the audition?
You know, I was familiar with the movie because I was a nanny in college, and the little boy I nannied for loved it. So we either watched that or Finding Nemo. And so I watched Tarzan a lot, and I was very familiar with the story, but all the new songs that were written just for the musical were brand new to me, and it was so much fun to learn because I don't sing any of the songs that were actually in the movie. So everything I got to do was brand new, which was exciting.
Okay.
Very exciting for me to learn all the new things.
So I want to ask you this, not just because the guys are here with us today, but as a director, how is...
Okay, they can't hear you. They can't hear you.
I only have glowing things to say about Mr. Rufus Bonds Jr. I told everyone that he gave us a very inspiring speech on opening night, and I said, everyone, okay, the day I get married, I want Rufus to officiate my wedding because... He is so inspiring all the time, and he's never just kind of there. You know, sometimes you have a director who might just sit in the background and kind of be like wallpaper, but Rufus is with us every step of the way, and even when he's not there, I can feel, you know, his energy and his spirit with the show. He took such careful steps to make sure that we were telling a story and that it wasn't, you know, just a big performance piece showcasing beautiful sets, costumes, and lights. That at the heart of it all, if we tore that all away, it would be the story of a boy becoming a man. And that's a universal story. Take it out of the jungle, put it in, you know, New York City, somewhere. It's all a story that we can relate to. And I think that is what Rufus did for us, is gave us the skeleton, the heart of the story that we can just build upon every night.
Well, well said, Katie. Yeah. Now, that boy who becomes a man is also in the studio. And how is it to work with this guy? If he were only good looking, that's the only thing that I can.
Well, you know, you struggle.
I can picture the face he's making right now, actually. It's been a pleasure. I think we've been good friends since day one. And I always feel very supported and comfortable on stage, and it's a joy.
And there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, speaking of those two gentlemen, we should talk to them as well. They're sitting
here
joining us. And
Katie,
thank you so much for taking the time.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Oh,
thank you, Katie.
You're welcome back anytime. You let me know whatever you're doing, and you'll be back.
I'll come there in person next time.
There you go.
Wonderful.
All right. Have
Thank
a wonderful
so much,
weekend.
Bye-bye. See you
Thank
guys
you,
soon.
Katie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a sweetheart.
She is a sweetheart.
Really?
Yeah,
I mean, so her picture, you know, she looks fairly effervescent in her picture.
Yeah.
She looks pretty bubbly,
yeah.
But she just seems that way as well.
She
what a lovely, lovely woman.
She gives a very lovely performance in this show.
Good. Look forward to seeing him. Yeah. Our next guest is an avid baseball fan from just outside of St. Louis, Missouri. He earned his degree in music at Northwestern University in Chicago. I see a lot of Chicago credits here. I'm very excited about that, having lived there myself for a good long time. Now playing Tarzan in Tarzan, the stage musical based on the Disney film. Do you have to say that whole thing every
yes,
time?
Yes, you do.
You have to say that
yes,
whole title. You can't just say Tarzan. You got to say
well,
the whole thing.
Well, you can, but
you are sued.
Correct with Musical yes. Theater International, we have to do
right.
that.
Well, at least I got the production company right at 3D Theatricals. He was most recently seen as Marius in Les Miserables at Musical Theater West in Long Beach, California. That might be where I copied it from.
Possibly.
Other theater credits include Mamma Mia, the Las Vegas and U.S. National Tour productions, Follies at Chicago Shakespeare Theater, one of the great theaters in the country, Fiddler on the Roof at Marriott Chicago, and Departure Lounge, a U.S. premiere at Bailiwick. Wow, Bailiwick. I'd love that space. Please welcome the King of the Jungle, a.k.a. Tarzan, Devin Archer.
Hey.
Right. Devin, you got a great Hollywood name. You know that? Devin
Thank you.
Archer. It's like a superhero name.
I walk into yoga studios and people are like, who?
Is it your real name?
Yeah.
Yeah, first and second?
First and last.
Yeah. How long did you live in Chicago, or were you just doing shows there? Or,
you mentioned I went to Northwestern immediately after I graduated.
That would put you in Evanston. Yes, I should have put that together.
Right after I graduated, it was easy to transition into the city life there, and there's a built-in network of friends and connections that you develop going to school there. So it was a nice transition into the professional life that we chose.
Yeah.
And I was able to hang around there for a couple of years and do some cool things before taking off.
Just an amazing theater town, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Just incredible stuff.
And Bailiwick, blood, sweat, and
the Bailiwick Theater and Chicago Shakespeare, just great venues out there.
Did you always know that you had an interest in the arts, that you wanted to...
You know, I sang a Backstreet Boys song at the fifth grade talent show, and I knew.
Okay, I just felt, I'm sorry, I feel heroically old now, because he said Backstreet Boys, and then he said fifth grade talent, and I'm like, oh man, am I old.
Oh, I didn't say I was in the fifth grade, I said talent show. Does that make it better or worse?
No, I don't know.
It's okay, you're both red now.
Yes, but you know how it is.
So that rosacea. Was your first taste.
Yeah, yeah. I sang for my peers and my teachers, and everyone kind of nudged me in the right or nudged me in the direction of becoming a singer and a performer. And I got really involved in my church choir and became active in the music there. And that all just kind of carried over into what I do now.
Is there a musical theater tract at Northwestern? Did you do musical theater, or was it straight acting track?
That school's got a really fantastic program. My degree is in music and opera, but I was able to get into they have a program for musical theater there that undergraduates can audition into after they've been accepted into the university, and that's what I was able to do.
Northwestern, phenomenal school. So the same question I asked Katie, if you will forgive me, but were you familiar with this piece before you auditioned for it? Did you know it at all?
Like Katie, I had seen the movie. It was one of
you
my
used
favorites.
To nanny as well. Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. I nannied my sister. I watched that movie quite a few times as a kid, and you know, obviously the story is really attractive. And the character Tarzan is really exciting, but I wasn't familiar with it until I got the opportunity to audition for the role, and I got really excited the minute I heard all of the music and everything else that Phil Collins and his team wrote around the original music that was designated for the movie, And then meeting Rufus and the rest of the team in the room when I was in there initially just got me more and more hungry and definitely piqued my desire to be a part of it.
All right. No, very, very, very anxious to see it. It's an actor,
you know, walking into a situation like that once you get hired and you're really. Did you know anybody else that was in the company at that point when you got the job?
Mm-mm.
So that's a big deal, you know, when you take that responsibility on of suddenly ingratiating yourself, you know, to hopefully ingratiating yourself to a whole company and the director and everybody else. And
well, like Katie said before. The energy in the room and the energy that Rufus brings to the table and the open heart that he has really erased any amount of nervousness
apprehension,
or apprehension. Yeah. When you approach this huge thing in this big story and he was able to put us all at a certain state of mind that made it really effortless, I think, to work together. And that is, for me, the theme of this production is how well this company of actors that come from so many different backgrounds, being gymnastics, singing, acting, dancing, it's a hodgepodge of talent. And the way that Rufus and our choreographer Linda Love Simmons and TJ Dawson, our producer, were able to congeal all of these different talents and bring everyone together to create something so positive and wonderful to watch was really incredible.
And it sounds like on top of what already exists there, because what I noticed from seeing shows there, and Michael, of course, knows it from working with the people down at 3D Theatre, there's already an underlay of a real sort of familial feeling there. There's a real, I mean, it is a family.
Definitely.
You know? And so you already have that base, and just building on that, it just sounds like you guys really, really connected.
Yeah, well, it's in the name. 3D T is three Dawson's Theatrical.
Right,
it's a bunch of siblings that came together to put this company on the map.
And there is that feeling going down there. You just really feel, you know, that, you know, and I'm hesitant to say it because I don't want it to sound like, oh, it sounds like, you know, it's like a family venture like that in some way makes it less professional. I don't mean to imply that because, as you said, it's Broadway quality.
These are three siblings who know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
No. Obviously. And TJ Dawson really... being kind of the leader of the pack, but everybody has their own specialties within the company, and boy, they do it right.
Yeah, but what about you with the flying? Any issues with that? Any? Did you have any? Were you excited about it? Was it a little intimidating? Or because I imagine you do fairly more flying than Jane does.
Yeah, it was. I was excited and scared. there was, like Katie mentioned before, our flight choreographer Paul Rubin knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows the task inside and out, and I never saw that guy frown. He always had the most positive attitude.
Wow.
and there's nothing that can calm an actor more than knowing that the person who is teaching you is completely in control. So we were blessed with an extended amount of rehearsal with Paul, so that he could put together this really intricate flying show for us, and because of that blessing, we aren't sitting in the wings waiting to fly on, feeling like, oh my God,
right,
we're sitting
up
there, you know. Really focused on what we're doing.
Really
focused on
right
telling
on
the story.
I'm curious about it. And if you don't want to answer this because it will reveal too much of the man behind the curtain thing, I totally respect that. But I did Mary Poppins recently, and there's a lot of flying in that. And Bert does the wall walking and walks upside down and all that. Now you're flying, but I'm imagining that you're not really wearing too much if you're playing Tarzan. So is that sort of, I mean, in terms of the rigging and things like that, is that a special sort of dance as far as how that is addressed and covered and whatnot? Or
I got to know a lot of people really well.
Or they you.
The loincloth that I get to wear is crafted so beautifully and covers up all of the rigging that goes around my hips and my butt. It's invisible to the audience.
Wow.
You cannot see what I'm wearing, and 3D was awesome and built a harness specifically for my body, so it fits really well. And that really helps with the magic of what we're doing.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's that there's such a craft to it, and it's one of those unappreciated crafts, because if it's done perfectly, it's not noticed at all.
Yeah.
It's like never has so much work been put forth to make something look effortless.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, and I so appreciate the work of those people. And I like I said, this past production, I get such a respect for those people, because it is a craft. It is a science.
Yeah, this show in particular is definitely a giant and a beast to tackle, and they made it look easy.
Well,
yeah.
No, it sounds
well.
Amazing.
Now, when Paul Rubin was working with you, did he give you all of you who do this in the show? Did he give you like a course in you know, like a basic course first to just kind of
it was
acclimated.
You know, it's kind of like jump into the deep end.
Really?
Yeah, the pool's cold. Dive in. he strapped us into our harness and said, "How's it feel?" And never having felt it before, we said, "Terrible." And then he said, "Okay, here we go. Raise him up." And we went up, and the, you know, there's no better way to do it than to do it.
Yeah.
And then
you ain't gonna learn it on the ground.
Yeah. So there was a lot of time spent suspended in the air, wondering what was going to happen next. And you know, Paul describes what we're doing as a dance between four people. There's the person who's in the air, and then there are the three people who are running the different lines off stage, and they should get the biggest round of applause of anybody out there. But it was really hard to choreograph and coordinate all of these different pieces that all come together and make
so
it
so quickly.
Yes, so quickly.
You know, I have a tremendous fear of heights. I don't know if I told you this.
I do have
a tremendous fear of heights, and I had to fly in a show, and it was a real special rigging that they had to set up for me, because it needed to accommodate the adult size depend undergarments that they had to put on me. It's absolutely terrifying.
Are you serious?
Of course I'm not serious.
I don't know, Paul, with you.
I'll add the rim shot so you know what I'm kidding.
Oh my goodness. So you looked at me quite seriously. So
I was,
you know, most
yes.
of the time I
and if it were true, do you think I would share a story like that?
Yes.
I do. Let's throw in this arts calendar, Michael.
But yeah.
Then continue talking to Devin, and then obviously also continue with Rufus. But you want to slice off some business?
Sure, sure. Based on what is recognized, ladies and gentlemen, as the greatest movie musical of all time, the American Film Institute, the stage version of Singin' in the Rain is faithfully and lovingly adapted by Broadway legends Betty Comden and Adolph Green, with songs by Nacio Herb Brown and Arthur Freed. Brought to life, it is each unforgettable scene, song, and dance, including the show-stopping title number, complete with an onstage rainstorm. Audiences of all ages can sing along and relive the classic music from the iconic Singing in the Rain to the footloose and fancy-free Make 'em Laugh and Good Morning.
Singing in the Rain has all the makings of a 1920s Tinseltown tabloid headline, the starlet, the leading man, and a love affair that could change lives and make or break careers. In silent movies, Don Lockwood and Lena Lamont sizzle, but behind the scenes, things aren't always as they appear on the silver screen. Lena's squeaky voice might be the end of her career in talking pictures, and without the help of a talented young actress to do the talking and singing for her. Presented by Musical Theater West and now playing in its final weekend at Carpenter Performing Arts Center, this is an iconic musical not to be missed. Tickets are on sale at the Musical Theater West ticket office, online at www.musical.org, or by calling 562-856-1999 extension 4. And you know something, Michael?
Yep.
While I was reading that, I realized that we're halfway through the show and we didn't give people the information on how to get tickets for Tarzan the Musical.
We will do that.
Would you be so kind as to
absolutely.
Throw that information out there? We'll do that a couple of times before the end of the hour for those listening.
And it's so easy to do, folks. You can go, first of all, the run that is currently on with Tarzan is at Plummer Auditorium in Fullerton. It's been in progress since opening night on the 12th, and it concludes its run there on the 26th. So you have time to get tickets. The box office telephone number is 714-589-2770. And, excuse me, you can buy tickets, if they're available, at the box office 2 hours prior to performances at the theater. Wonderful pricing on this. I mean, you cannot go see a Broadway show of this caliber for these prices, I will tell you that. And online ticketing is available to you at 3DTShows.com. So once again, there are performances starting this evening, July 23rd, continuing through Friday, July 24th, Saturday, two shows, 2 and 8 p.m. on the 25th and Sunday on the 26th, a 2 p.m. closing performance. Then a week goes by and they move the show over to Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center for a run there between August 1st and 9th, and we'll tell you more about how to get tickets for that in just a little bit.
Beautiful. Yeah. We'll throw those websites out there again.
Absolutely.
Before we talk to Rufus, Devin, do you have a website that people can that you can share with? Do you have a website or Twitter or Facebook or anything where people can follow what you do?
Yeah, sure. It's really easy. It's devinarcher.com.
Devinarcher.com.
And I'm also on Instagram. My Instagram tag is Devin J. Archer.
And
J
it's Devin, D-E-V-I-N, Archer.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're on Facebook as well?
I'm not on Facebook.
You aren't, are you? Because I tried to find your page last night.
Yeah, it's...
And there is a Devin Archer on Facebook.
There is.
It's just not you.
Different guy.
Yeah.
Different guy.
Different looking, too.
Michael, would you introduce this lovely gentleman to my right?
Yes, I will. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, comes to 3DT from directing The Wiz at Red Mountain Theater in Birmingham, Alabama. Some of his other directing credits include Into the Woods and The Wizard of Oz at the Victoria Theater in Dayton, Ohio. He says he is truly blessed to be able to live his life behind the scenes as well as on the stage. Recently, he performed in 3DT's production of Ragtime as Cole House Walker Jr. and performed it at Carnegie Hall as the baritone soloist and performed, at Carnegie Hall as the baritone soloist for Duke Ellington's Sacred Music and in London as the title role of Porgy in Porgy and Bess at the Regent's Park Open Air Theater. He is a 2013 Los Angeles Ovation Award winner as Best Featured Actor in a Musical Parade, which was also presented by 3D Theatricals. Please welcome back to State of the Arts, Rufus Bonds Jr.
All right, then.
Well, baby. We do not mess around.
A little juicy a little there, Rufus. You've been sitting for a while, so I figured I'd shake you up a little bit.
Thank you so much.
How are you?
I'm good.
Rufus, it's a pleasure to have you back.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And thank you for it's a bit of a journey for you coming into town here. So we're very, very grateful that you made the time for us. It's interesting what these people have been saying about you, the two performers that we spoke to, when I first met you and you were was here doing the show, and Cole House Walker, that role that you have, you share something with that character, you seem to naturally, which is you have a wonderful, quiet intensity about you. You're just a very charismatic guy, and you're just sort of very, very zen, you know? And how do you, I mean, obviously it works for your actors to really be grateful for what you do for them. But what is your... Do you sort of keep that tone for your direction when you direct a show? Are you... what is your process like in terms of preparing a show? Like, did you know... when you prepared this, or rather when you were prepping to direct Tarzan, how much of it did you have prepared and how much of it happens in the moment?
There's so much preparation that is needed before you even get to the room, just in terms of plotting out from the costume plot to the scene flow. There's so much work that goes into play that you do on paper before you even get to, after you read the script, of course, and you read the stories, you know, and you begin to try to figure out, okay, what is this really, really about and how do you want to approach it? So you do that first and you do all this other work that you have to do on the paper, as I stated before. And then closer to the production, you get back to the story again. And I kept trying to seek answers to questions that were not given. For example, who are these two people that were Tarzan's parents? Because I need to know that information so that I can give that to the actor. So I began to research to figure out who were these people. And then you look at the movie, I think Greystroke was the name of it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I looked at that, and then that's one story.
Right.
Then you read the book, and that's a completely different story. And so then you have to choose which one you're going to go with.
Right.
And I figure it's always best to go with the original, which is the book.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so a lot of my concepts came from the book and leaning to that and reading the book, then I realized, because there are so many different characters that are here in the play, you have to read what's the main focus, and of course it is Tarzan. And on the first day, I was telling the cast, and I look at everyone as actors, whether they're dancers, whether they're singers, they're all actors, because you have to be able to tell the story, even if it's physically. Right. You have to be in the moment no matter what you're doing.
Right, just so a different type of storytelling.
It's just a different type of storytelling. Yeah. So I treat everyone as actors. And the very first day I told them, I said, it's all about the heart. That is who I am, and that is what the piece is about as well. And it is our journey to get Tarzan from a baby to a man to taking over the tribe. So no matter what you do in the story, every moment it is to that effect you have to do and work towards that as a dancer, whether you like him or for him or against him, it has to push him towards becoming a man. And so that was our whole story and our whole journey. And then I looked at Clayton, for example, and he was a minor character, but I said, the reason that you are so bitter is because you are in love with Jane.
Who is the Clayton character for Clayton, our listeners?
He is the character that basically is the leader of the expedition.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, you're so upset because you are in love with her and she's rejecting you for Tarzan. So therefore, it gives you a reason to be upset rather than coming off as this character that's a villain, per se.
Right.
Because there's always a reason.
Two-dimensional.
Exactly.
Two-dimensional,
and it just gives so much color and flavor in the piece.
Now, there's a number of Tarzan books. Edgar Rice Burroughs did a number of them, if I'm right.
Mm. This one was I'm curious. Tarzan the Ape Man.
So the first one was Tarzan the Ape Man. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he was a very unique character, Edgar Rice Burroughs. I live in Tarzana myself, which is his old ranch.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That whole area is the land that he bought with the Tarzan money, and then he gave it to the city. And he was one of the first hippies. He was very extreme. Mm-hmm. He had little advertisements for people to move into Tarzan and say, we practice free love and we encourage drug use and all this other stuff.
We all wear loincloths.
We all wear loincloths. Right, yeah, right. Very free spirited fellow. Now you've performed at 3D Theatricals before. Have you directed there before?
This is my first time directing for them.
Really?
Yes.
Really. And
yes.
I know it's a trite question, but do you like one over the other, or are they just too different?
They're very different. I'm very exhausted after directing because your mind is always working and you're always trying to problem solve. Yeah. So it's a different set of muscles.
You're the hub of the wheel.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's different in that respect. It seems as being on stage now is a little easier because you need less responsibility in a certain kind of way. But the beauty of it for me is actually seeing the piece come together and the trust that you get from the acts like Devin and Katie. They trust me to go inside of them because my concern is also about the person, not just the actor, but the person as well. How does this affect your life? And how do you change people's lives that are watching this? How do you make them think about something differently, look at something different, turn something on them? Because I believe our art should touch people in a way that make them ask questions about themselves. Or we have to be the voices of those who are unable to speak. And so that's how I try to work as a director. I try to use those tools as an actor as well when I'm on stage. But because I do know how to use those tools, I also know how to communicate to actors as well.
You know, that's really encouraging to hear because I can't tell you how many times I have seen a show and where it is obvious that the director has not considered. And it's astounding to me that they wouldn't consider this because it seems so obvious, that they don't consider the experience of the person who comes in and sits down in the theater.
Exactly.
They know what they want to say, and they know how they want to direct it, but they don't consider that experience. So you're talking about the audience almost in the same vein that you're talking about your actors, because it's a shared experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I truly wanted this to be an environmental experience for the audience as well.
Is that why you have all the live chimps in the lobby? Because I think that's brilliant.
Exactly. That's exactly why. You can even take one home.
Wednesday is chimp night. Everyone gets a free chimp when they go.
You know, I think, though, what Rufus is saying, my experience on opening night was right out of the gate. with exactly everything you just described about getting inside of you know, the actors themselves and understanding, for them to understand and for you to understand who they are. Because when the mother, the gorilla, finds this baby, it's just like breathtaking in, you know, what happens from that in that point and her and her conversation with her mate about it. It's really a very beautiful setup for the rest of the story to come alive and see the child, of course, grow and then become.
And when I saw, I did see it on Broadway, and one of the things that bothered me was the fact that the moment that you're speaking of is kind of breezed by, and I thought the setup wasn't strong enough because you
feel
enough about these this baby, her baby lost. That's why I put that in slow motion so that you can really see it and feel it at the beginning of the story so you can follow the story along. And that's also why I held off at bay the flying as long as I could, because I didn't want it to be about the flying. People, and once you fly, it's done. You know, so let's let everyone know it's about the story and it's about these people's lives or these animals' lives.
And it has more weight, and it has more weight when it does happen.
If you
sustain it and you go. But I think that is also an indication of, or a reaffirmation rather, of what Devin said and also with what Katie said, that you're not doing a musical. You're doing a play that has music in it. And just by the focus that you had on telling the story, and the focus being about the story of a boy becoming a man, that's a much more rich, organic place to be. It's okay. It's a Tarzan story. No, it's richer than that.
Absolutely. And you know, the flying. We had a lot of time, but we didn't have a lot of time in terms of what was required of them. And they've done such an amazing job giving their bodies over to this experience that is very frightening as well, because flying is not easy. And if we had four more weeks, then it would be more fluid for them to learn. But that was not the case. But the time that was given, they are doing extremely well. And it's seamless. It's absolutely beautiful.
And beginning, too, with the parents, you know, making it off, you know, from the shipwreck. That is, like, unbelievable.
Devin, we're
giving it away.
Oh, sorry. Devin, were you going to chime in?
Saying to touch on the storytelling and how that was the stressor of from day one, like Rufus said. The story that we tell is really touching, and I was approached by somebody, one of our stagehands, Garrett, a few days ago, and he said to me, "Devin, I wasn't expecting to feel misty-eyed at the end of Tarzan, the Disney musical, or the musical based on whatever it was that we have to give respect to." But he said, "I wasn't expecting to be misty-eyed watching this from the wings every night, but I am, and you guys are doing such a marvelous job of telling a story that has so much heart and soul and touches on one of the most basic animal instincts that we have, and that is to love."
And to find our place.
Discover, yes.
And I think that that's one of the things that you're really up against with something like this. It's material that everyone thinks they're familiar with.
Right.
And then they see it and they realize that they're not. Because it's how you're telling this particular story.
Which makes it
a unique experience.
And, you know, I think the treatment that it's being given here in this Southern California premiere of this production is... you know, has really garnered love letters from the critics, you know, from the Orange County Register and Broadway World and all of them who have been in to see it thus far. We have a whole other group of people and critics that are coming in on to the Redondo run that have not yet seen it. But it is something to, I think it's a testament to what you've done on the stage, because Tarzan was on Broadway. It was not necessarily a major hit at that time when it was on Broadway. And, you know, it didn't run for a particularly long time. But I think that just didn't work in New York for some reason. And I think that between Rufus and TJ and what they've done in kind of retooling this in a fresh kind of way, and your take on it has certainly given it the thing that...
And there's
they
so,
wish they would have had it.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, yeah, but there's right. so many different elements too. I mean, look at Parade. It was the yeah. same thing with Parade. Mm-hmm. Look at Sideshow.
Right.
There's so many elements of the marketplace and all of that that sometimes they just don't jive, and then they don't might not, you know, run on Broadway forever, but then they hit the road or they go out regionally and they get the accolades and the respect that they deserve. It's like, you know, it's happened. I mean, I think Parade is probably the best example.
Yeah, that was a phenomenal experience.
I think that this region of the United States, Southern California and LA specifically, is hungry for more and for better theater. And
yeah.
and it's really great that we have a chance to impact that community.
Yeah.
And like we've been talking about, welcome them into yeah. an experience.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, I've said it before, it's not a pleasant opinion to have. It's not an especially positive opinion to have, but there are a lot of actors in Southern California who cut their teeth as film and television actors. And it's different. And a lot of them who do a good number of theater, you know, there's a lot of theater in here, but, you know, to stand out, you know, and to do something like this, I mean, this is like Broadway quality really shines out here.
Yeah.
Because there's, well, this is a whole nother show. I'm not going to go there. it's that time, Michael.
Yes.
It's that time.
Indeed it is.
So you want to, we're going to baptize these
yes.
two.
We have to baptize you boys. So, again, as Paul said to you before we went on the air, we have to ask you of a particular episode, a story, whether it's amusing or maybe it doesn't have to be amusing, but it doesn't have to be from the theater either. It could be from a television show or a film project that you've done, but something that went horribly wrong.
Tale of woe. A tale of performance woe.
Awkward, difficult
situation. This is kind of a classic. Classic tale of woe. I was touring, and ironically, it was in Cleveland, which is where Rufus is from.
Mm-hmm.
And it was with Mamma Mia, and everyone's seen the show. At the end of it, there's a big dance mega mix, and I went down into a squatted position and completely blew out the butt of my pants right at the beginning of this number, which lasts for about 13 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
And it was a very, very hot summer day. So in many ways, it was a welcome change in my costume, the nice breeze going. But I was wearing a dance belt, which revealed all of my anatomy on my backside. But
lucky you had sold that advertising space. So that was
right. Yes. Yeah. So the people of Cleveland had a really great finale that
they got their money.
You know, here's the thing, though. I mean, you said it's classic because it mm-hmm. has happened. But I can tell you, in all of the times that Michael and I have done this show, and a number of people have a similar tale, but no one has it where it's at the start of a 13-minute
right.
number.
Because that's a... Well, it was just kind of one of those things where you say, oh, well, this is happening. And I didn't sing a note. I laughed through the entire finale.
Was the audience with you, though?
I don't know.
Appropriately named, though. Rip. Mamma Mia!
Wow. Rufus, what about you?
Hmm. Rufus was backstage in Cleveland, furiously loosening the seams on people's pants. That's what he was doing.
I'll get you. This I don't know what I told last time. I was doing this show once, and I had to sing the soprano part. And I was just singing this little thing, and I fell out on stage. And then I was lying on the stage, and then all of these people came around me, and they had Raffia on, and they were chanting. And I'm like, am I asleep? Am I really on stage? And I
woke up. What do you mean you fell out?
I fainted.
You fainted?
I fainted on stage. I fainted. And
oh
I was
my
on
God.
The floor. And then everybody on the stage was singing these chants around me. And I'm like, am I in heaven? Did I die? What's going on? And I woke up.
Why is Ben Vereen here?
I am on the stage. And
oh
then
my God.
I got up and we started dancing and I went off stage.
Oh my! And no repercussions.
It was just a high note.
High note.
Seriously, that it was just took your breath away.
Yes. Oh, it was the note,
man. Oh,
yeah.
And now Ella Fitzgerald is doing ads for smelling salts now, not Memorex anymore. It's the smelling salt.
There you go.
That's priceless. Oh my!
Wow.
God.
Well, once again, ladies and gentlemen, Tarzan, the stage musical based on the Disney film, on stage now in Fullerton at the Plummer Auditorium through July 26th. And there are some performances there starting tonight that you can still catch. Go to the box office. You can do that 2 hours prior to the performance if you can get a ticket at that point. The remote box office number is 714-589-2770. And you also can get tickets for a beautiful price, as low as $20. And the top ticket price on this show is $70. That's amazing, because you certainly can't do that at the Pantages.
Yeah. And as we've said before, $20 doesn't get you parking in New York.
That's correct. Yeah, yeah, no. Absolutely. And then it opens once again, August 1st through 9th, at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center, a beautiful building there. And that is a Saturday, August 1st, and it plays through the that weekend and the second weekend through Sunday, August 9th. And coming soon to 3D Theatricals, I might add, is the Addams Family.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that.
And did I just see on – oh, you know what? I might not be able to say it. I thought I saw on Facebook that someone was cast in that, but maybe it can't
be
announced.
Shouldn't say that.
So I won't say anything. Gentlemen, what a pleasure to have both of you on here.
Absolutely.
This is a real
guys.
Really enjoyed it. And also, let's shout out, of course, to the young lady
Katie
who kicked
Deshaun.
Off our hour, Katie Deshaun.
The lovely
Katie,
and talented.
Even though you're not there now, we thank you. And really enjoyed this, and continued success with the show.
Absolutely, yes. Guys. And Paul, always a pleasure.
All right. We'll see you next week.
You bet. On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.